downtown and nothing. Nobody around. Now stuff's building up and people are actually out.
Yeah, see, when I was a kid, we lived on Tuttle Avenue and you could catch a bus and go downtown. And it was thriving. There was Rides, there was Donfeld, there was the arcade, there was Kresge's with all the toys and all that. Yeah. It was quite centrally located and people came from all over.
Back in the day, my mom almost took a job at Reich's down there.
Did she?
Back when she got out of college.
Yeah.
It didn't quite
change. Well, that's how my dad met my mother.
Oh, really?
She was out watching the parade, the Thanksgiving parade, and she worked at Reich's and she was in the parade. He saw her and found somebody to introduce him.
All right. Well, we can do the ambiance later. I think the delay is we can just get to the questions. Yeah. I think that'll be beneficial for everyone involved. So, first, thank you for your time. But just for some attribution's sake. So, my name is Nate Sikora. I will be interviewing Mrs. Marilyn Roddy. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then Chandler Mett will be a note taker for today. And we are here at a residence at 523 Watervliet Avenue, right here in Dayton. And it is February 16th, 2019. And today we'd like to interview about your memories about the Dayton Arcade. But first we'd like to start with some general questions, just like we had kind of in the beginning here.
Yes.
Just about kind of, you know, your life growing up in Dayton, and then we'll kind of get started, you know, kind of towards the arcade. Mm-hmm. So when and where were you born?
I was born in St. Anne's, which was in St. Elizabeth Hospital, June 8th, 1935. And at that time, Mom and Dad lived on the north side of Dayton. I don't know the name of the street, but I know they lived on the north side of Dayton.
Okay. And did your parents grow up there while you were a child? Is that where you grew up as a child?
No, I didn't grow up there. They moved to Tuttle Avenue, which is in the east side of Dayton. And I grew up there until the third grade when my father and mother bought a farm around Farmersville, Ohio, and I graduated from Farmersville High School.
All right, so you went to Farmersville High School. So what did your parents do as a profession?
My mother was a housewife, and my father was a toolmaker. And my mother's side of the family, she was second generation from Germany. Her mother was born in Germany. My father's side of the family came down through Pennsylvania, and they always referred to him as Pennsylvania Dutch. And we had family up around Youngstown, and I remember visiting people, and they were farmers. And one grandfather was a harness maker back in the time when they had horses and that. So
So my follow-up question to that was, do you know how much information about your grandparents or kind of your back lineage? So it sounds like you're...
Yeah, I have one grandma, and I've got a picture of her. And that's how we got here to the United States. I thought they moved here to get away from World War I, and that was not the case. My mother told me that... This grandmother, they were Catholic, and she got into a fight with the priest in Germany. And she come home and said, "We're going to the United States." And they packed up and they came over. And it was not because of World War I. It was because of the altercation with the priest. And when they came here they ended up in Dayton because families here in Dayton, it was a center of toolmakers, and a lot of the toolmakers were German. And because they loved math and that, and as I have a grandson, math is 2 + 2 = 4, and that doesn't change.
Mm-hmm. And kind of that German kind of engineering really came in here into Dayton. Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So. That's how they drifted here to Dayton, and then on my grandmother's side, the Cher's side, my grandfather's side, they came from Alsace-Lorraine, and the family history, it's oral history, was his grandfather was on the ship with the gentleman that started one of the grocery chains here in Dayton. And they got to be friends, so he just followed them here to Dayton. And that is how they all kind of got here.
Very cool. Very interesting. And so kind of your upbringing, so have you lived in Dayton all of your life then?
No.
No? So where? No.
Lived on Tuttle Avenue, and then we moved to Farmersville, which is west of Dayton. And I grew up on a farm there and graduated. I went to Miami Valley School of Nursing, graduated from there. And then when I married, I lived on, raised my three daughters on a farm on the corner of Little Richmond and Clayton, which is in the New Lebanon district.
Mm, it's a little bit north of here.
Yeah. And they started there. And Becky, my oldest, started school at New Lebanon, and then we bought property around Springboro, and they went to Springboro.
Excellent, Springboro High School.
Yeah. Gotcha. Right below, half of the flat went to Centerville, and the other half went to Springboro. We went to Springboro.
Gotcha. And you mentioned nursing, is that what you said, medical
school?
Yeah,
I'm a registered nurse.
And so was that, did you do as a profession majority of your life?
Yeah. Yes. I worked, a majority of my nursing was in public health, school nursing, and psychiatric nursing. I worked at the state hospital, so I had a lot of years in the state system.
Interesting, okay. And just a kind of a random question, like what'd you like to do in your spare time, kind of while you've been around here?
You know, I think it's because of my growing up in the country, and I've learned to entertain myself. I tend to like to do the adult coloring and things that I can do by myself. Now, I have friends, and every Wednesday I meet them and I eat out. I have a friend that there's a local store called Dots,
mm-hmm.
and she'll call me and says, hey, I'm going down to Dots to the rest or to the bullpen, and so I'll meet her down there. So it isn't that I don't have friends, but I don't require to be around people all the time. That's how it goes. And my daughter loves that because she doesn't have to worry about me. And she lives in Beaver Creek.
That's right. All right. So that's great to hear about. That's a kind of interesting past of how they got mm-hmm. here. It's very, very interesting. Now we can move on kind of to the Dayton Arcade and kind of your experience with that and kind of its connection to your overall experience in Dayton in general.
Mm-hmm.
What are your first memories of the arcade? I think you'd mentioned that you most remember it as a child,
yeah.
And then you said your oldest sister, or was it a relative that knew more about the arcade than you did, that was in that published book that you said?
My mother is the one that contacted the Dayton Daily News, and they came out and interviewed, but I went through that book, and her name is not in there, so apparently they took mine and put it in. I remember, because when we lived on Tuttle Avenue, you could catch the bus at our front door and go downtown. And that was a big thing. We'd catch the bus and go downtown, and we would go to the arcade. And Mom would shop. She would, I can remember seeing Fresh Fish store there. I remember Culp's cafeteria. We didn't buy anything, but we walked by and I looked. And then I do remember her looking at the windows, and maybe she went back to shop later at like places like Donfeld's and Lerner's, because they were stores that you walked past. I remember doing that. But my biggest memory, besides going through Kresge's, was that blind lady that sat right outside of where Kresge's opened up into the arcade. And she sold newspapers. And she sat there, and she had her Doberman who sat side of her. And people would come in. I saw a lot of business people would come in. I assume they were business because they were in suits and dressed for office work, and buy the newspapers off of her. And she was there, I guess, every day, because she was always there when we were there.
Mm-hmm. And so kind of based off of that, speaking about the Dayton Arcade and kind of downtown back in that time, mm-hmm. being kind of a center where all walks of life would be there.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you experienced? I mean, just from that anecdote, just kind of, you know, from all walks of life, everyone kind of interacted and ran into each other.
They ran into everybody, and they would, they would go and shop. They would, I remember going to the theater down there, and there was a theater around the corner that we didn't talk about. And my dad and mom would look at each other, and it was called the Mayfair, and that was the burlesque house. And us kids were not allowed to, whenever something was said about the Mayfair, the adults got quiet, or we got shepherded into another room. But the Mayfair was down there, but there was Lowe's, and there were two or three theaters down there, and that was a big thing. We would go down for family movies every once in a while.
So theater was really the big draw.
Yeah, the movie theaters. It was a big draw, and when some of the big movies would come, that time they were doing war stories and things like that, and mom and dad would have a family night, and we would go down, and we saw some of the Walt Disney movies, things like that.
And so trips to the arcade were family events? Would you consider that?
No, it's not a family event. Dad and Harley went. It was a shopping event.
Okay.
It was when mom and my aunt and uncle lived with us for a while, and they needed to go downtown to go after something. That's what it was. It was more of a female excursion.
Gotcha. And, you know, so off of that, a female excursion, I remember, so my grandmother, who kind of grew up in the 30s and the 40s, and was kind of adult into the 50s, when she would always discuss the arcade, she would always talk about how, like, it was an event for women to go down to the arcade. They'd dress up, they'd have their white gloves on, and, you know, your best outfits. That's what she'd tell me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to hear, you know, from your perspective, if that was something that you experienced.
Yeah, we took shower, we took baths, we all dressed up. I don't remember the white gloves. My mother didn't wear gloves if she didn't have to. Easter, she wore them. But other than that, she hardly ever wore them. But we dressed up, and we'd go out there, and we'd wait on the bus, and we'd ride the bus downtown, and we'd get off and go into the arcade. And on occasions, we would shop at Reich's. And then my brother, who lives in San Diego now, retired Navy, he was over 6 foot. So mom always had trouble finding shoes and socks for him. And she found them at the Metropolitan. That was the only place she could. So, and that was across the street from the arcade, or across the street from close to the arcade, but close, I think, across from Lowe's. This theater, because I remember we'd go to the Metropolitan to get him socks and shoes. That was the only time he went downtown with us, is when he had to get shoes and socks. And she took him. And we didn't go to the arcade then.
Gotcha. And did you know anybody who lived downtown, lived in the arcade, or kind of did you see anything with like the arcade apartments, that kind of lifestyle? Did kind of like, you know, the kind of combination between kind of the condominiums and apartments and kind of the shopping center, kind of all in one. Did you experience that at all? What were your experience when you went to the arcade and were inside and saw, you know, the glass ceiling and things of that nature? Kind of what was your overall experience?
I felt the vastness of it, the brightness of it, and I do remember looking up and mom telling me there were apartments up there, and I do remember seeing silhouettes of people behind the windows. I do remember that. Now, I did not realize until I was reading in the book that I loaned you that they had various different kinds of apartments. They had apartments that were almost the size of homes. They had smaller apartments, and they had bachelor apartments. And I do remember seeing people walk past the windows up there. But other than that, I knew they were there, but I didn't know anyone that lived there.
Okay. And do you remember any kind of specific events that were held at the arcade? Or the arcade was kind of like a event center, you know, like during Christmas time or Thanksgiving or things of that nature that kind of drew certain crowds during seasonal events.
The seasonal event that I remember the most was Reich's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And the other seasonal event that I remember the most was going downtown and seeing Reich's Christmas windows. And then they had the Santa Claus on a sleigh that went around the building. I remember those things. I don't remember much in the way of going to the arcade for any event. I do know that Mom would go there and buy poultry there every once in a while. There was a stand there for poultry, and she would get a dressed chicken and that. But when you did that, you went down, you shopped, and you went right home because you had to get it home. But I don't the Reichs Parade is the thing that I remember the most, and not any real events at the arcade that I remember.
Okay. And did you encounter any issues or problems with downtown, with the arcade, such as crime or segregation of the stores, depending on what time that you visited the arcade, or any kind of kind of social issues that stood out that were visible through the arcade?
You got to remember, I was only in about second, third, fourth grade. I don't remember anything specific. I do remember that, how do I want to say this? That people that knew each other or were from the same neighborhoods tended to stay together and not really mingle, if you know what I'm saying. And they were friendly to people, but they would, if Mom was going downtown and someone else on Tuttle Avenue was down there, that's where we stayed. We would meet up with them. So I don't really, I knew there were, maybe I picked up some tension, but I couldn't really tell you a whole lot about it.
Okay. And so, you know, through your discussions and kind of during when the arcade actually existed, what was the general kind of interpretation from the public about the arcade, you know, and its role in the community, and its role as what you're kind of portraying as kind of a central shopping center for the town?
You just said it. You've got to remember that was the only grocery store downtown. And those were apartments, and people lived there. And there were other apartments, so it was a local shopping center. And you not only got merchandise, you got groceries, you got staples, that had almost everything but toys, and we could get that at Kresge's.
Was that across the street?
Kresge's opened right into the arcade.
Oh, okay.
Right close to where the blind lady sat.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. And my mother played the piano, and they sold sheet music. And every once in a while, she'd buy some sheet music. And I would always look at the toys. That's my biggest thing, is the toys at Kresge's and the blind lady. Those are the ones that I think of the most.
Interesting. Those are very distinct memories, are they not?
Yeah.
And so did that interpretation kind of change over time? You know, as we kind of, you know, when the... Okay, went through renovations kind of in the 70s, and then eventually closed in 1991. How has kind of the interpretation been about the arcade now? That, you know, you kind of, you know, a flight to the suburbs. You have the green now, different malls.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, the downtown is no longer the center of shopping.
Now I'm a psychiatric nurse, and there is, and I went to. School down at Cincinnati, and I was studying the different things of psychology, and there is this one professor, he was very interesting. He pointed out that there is a life cycle of business: new, interesting, mature, stable. And then if you don't stop and change your style, then it's a downward, and that's what happened there. It became because of the flight to the suburbs, and of course we moved out of Dayton at that time. The arcade was not central anymore. Now you've got we're back to going back downtown with your generation. And I'm sure it's just now at the cusp of where I think it could come back again. Maybe not with all the fresh fruits and vegetables, but there's a place called Yellow Cab downtown where the buses all come out. They have now brought fresh fruits and vegetables down there that people can buy, because that's a hub where people come in from all parts of town, which, if you stop and think about it, is a mini arcade. And you should look up the Yellow Cab hub, because they do bring fresh fruits down there so people can buy them.
Right, and so kind of a great follow-up question to that is kind of, what do you think the arcade meant to the people in the city of Dayton, kind of in its lifespan and its role in the community?
It was a gathering place. It was a place to shop. It was a place for a lot of people lived, especially professional people. And it actually was kind of like the pulse of the city in a certain sense. And I didn't realize until I was reading these books that I was talking about, if you actually think about it, you don't actually see the arcade. You just see the entrances. And it was also a place where people would use it as a traffic lane. They're on one side. Instead of going clear around the block, they'd walk through the arcade, because they could get to where they wanted to go. So it answered so many needs that it was just essential.
And then would you say kind of just throughout time, as you say, kind of the flight to the
suburbs,
the growth of, you know, different grocery stores, you know Dorothy Lane Market and things they kind of offered those certain necessities, like you say.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, and that, would you consider that kind of the catalyst for that, as you say, kind of the, you know, force of the management, that downfall that the arcade really couldn't respond to?
Yeah, and the other thing, only in my personal point of view, is I don't go downtown much anymore, because the parking is expensive, and you have to walk to get to where you need to go, and I don't feel it's worth all the arthritic knees that I have to go through to get downtown anymore. So I have to stop and think, when was the last time I was really downtown? It's been almost 2 years. And that's, I used to go to the plays there at the, there at the Schuster, and then across the street at the Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I like the Victoria better than I do the Schuster. It's more intimate. But I have stopped all that, because the parking, it's just you want to park inside of the Schuster, you're going to pay $10. And and you buy a Schuster. Do you know how much tickets are for the Schuster? Well, you're a student. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't, don't want to know. I have two friends that go to the Schuster all the time, and that's Sound of Music tickets. They're expensive. Again, this is an aside. When I was in high school from Farmersville, we had a trip to New York. We raised money for it. And in that trip was a theater play. And guess what we saw? We saw The King of Siam with Yul Brynner. He owned that play. And I went to see The Sound of Music years later without Yul Brynner, and it was as flat as far as I was concerned. So when The Sound of Music come to town, they asked me if I wanted to go, and I says no. Because there's nobody that can play in that play like Yul Brynner did. And I saw the original one. And so that was just, that's just an aside. You neither put it in your notes or you can forget about it.
Very cool. That kind of covers the majority of our questions kind of about the arcade. We can kind of just finish up. I think I just kind of be interested to know. So you said if you can kind of correct me or kind of get the lineage right, you originally kind of grew up in Farmersville, is that correct?
I grew up till the third grade on Tuttle Avenue, which is in East End.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that was the end of Dayton because I remember looking out the porch we lived on, and it was cornfields. At that time, that was the end of Dayton. And I remember during World War II, the bombers would come in and right past, and they would fly so low you could see the pilots. And then they would have trained their parachuters over where DP&L had their golf course and stuff, and you could see that. And you know what our Sunday entertainment was then? You'll never guess. We would go out to Wright Pat, and you could park along there, and we would watch the planes come in and out. And my father, don't ask me where he got this, but he loved opera. And he would have the radio on, and we would listen to opera watching the planes come in. And we weren't the only ones out there. There were a lot of people out there. And it almost got to the point, it was, you would go out there and you would meet people you've seen before, and it'd become a party time. And we would watch those planes go in and out. Now I don't think they let you do that anymore.
And was this during the war?
This was during the war. This was during World War II. And my dad was on the civil, he was exempted because he was a tool maker and they needed him in the factories. And he was on at night you had blackouts because we were close to Wright Pat, and they would practice, and I remember him going out, and he would knock on doors if they saw any lights coming through. And I remember my aunt was living with us at the time, and they would put blankets over the window, and that's because they would walk the streets to be sure there was no lights showing. And I do remember that.
And specifically with the arcade, just connected that with the blackout, did you ever visit the arcade during that period of time when they blacked out the glass ceiling at all?
No,
because they did during the war.
If they did, as a kid, I didn't pay attention.
Okay, but yeah, but that's just an interesting connection. But I think that was probably just the whole idea at the time.
Yeah, well, see that what I picked up from the way the dolls were talking, it was because of Wright Pat that we did this, because it was a big center and they were doing a lot of war work out there, and they had the planes coming in and out all the time. And I think that's why we did that. But I know, I remember the blackouts. I do remember those.
And then based off of that, so when the World War II started and Wright Pat became, like you said, a very, very big center for the war effort, did you see kind of, what was your experience, and I think this is what you said when you were growing up, as kind of the city expanded, new jobs, new housing developments, all these kind of the suburbs that we're talking about now, kind of basically became developed through this effort as more people came in. Did you experience that, kind of a shift in kind of what Dayton was as a city?
Not really, because we had moved. We had moved out of the country.
Okay, so that was when you shifted out to Farmersville?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The only other thing I remember is, we would do this. On the other side, DP&L had a clubhouse and a swimming pool and a golf course. And there was an Indian mound there that no one could dig into. It was actually, and it still may be there. But I remember as a kid, a couple of us in the neighborhood, we'd put on our swimsuits and we'd put on clothes over the top of them. And we would go, and we knew where the pool was, and they knew what we were doing. And we would wait till the lifeguard would turn his back. We'd slip our clothes off, and we'd slip into that pool. And they left to swim. And then we would get back out and dress and go home. I remember sneaking into, and we felt so smart. We were able to do that. Now that I'm older, I know they knew exactly what we were doing. But that was a time when the kids would play out at night, and we would play under the street lights, and we would play kick the can, and alley alley oop de egg where you threw a ball over the and every neighbor knew every kid, so it was just like I think it was Hillary Clinton wrote a book about a village raises a kid, and that's exactly what it was at that time. I couldn't go down the street without Mom not knowing where I was. And I don't remember this, but I must have been about 18 months, 20 months, and I got out of the house with no clothes on. And the neighbors knew who I was, and they brought me home. That's a story that's been in the family for years. But and one of our neighbors, Barry Sholto, ended up being a secretary of the Navy. And he helped my brother, because my brother's retired Navy, and he had a daughter that he had custody of. And my mother got a hold of Barry and said Eddie needed to be home because there were some legal things around Diana Beth's custody. And she went out to California. Eddie said, I got this call that I had to come up to the bridge. And he said, I went up there, and the commander says, who do you know in the Navy office? And he said, what? He said, Barry Sholto's office contacted us, and you are to go back to the home port and so on. He said, he was our neighbor when I grew up. And my mother could be an activist when she had to be. And so she got Eddie home to help get the legal work, and then he went back out to sea. But she went out to California and brought Dinah Beth home. And Dinah Beth lived with us for a couple of years until he remarried. But I can still, because my Aunt Thelma, who lived on Tuttle Avenue, they bought the home for Mom and Dad. They came out there and cooked for Mom, because Mom was gone for about 3 or 4 days. So they came out to the farm, and she cooked for us and took care of everything until she got back. I can still hear my brother say, I was called up to the bridge, and I didn't know what I did. I said, how'd you get home? He said, the next port, I got off and got hopped a ship and come on. Of course, Navy, they know how to do that kind of stuff.
And so a follow-up question on that, I forgot to ask this in the beginning. So siblings, so how many siblings do you have? And then you said you have a brother who was in the Navy.
Navy, that's the only one.
That was the only one? Yeah. So yeah. Older, you said younger brother?
Yeah, I'm the oldest. He's 2 years younger than me.
And then did you say you worked at Wright Patt, or is that somebody else that he was separate from that?
My daughter is is Air Force, and she's out of Wright Patt. She went into active duty out of high school, and now she is in. She has gotten herself into going up the ranks, and she is. She's not in the active Air Force now. She's. I don't know what civil service, and she's working now with the Greek contingent, and she goes to Greece at least once a year. There's an Air Force base over there. She was going to Germany. She travels with her work. And once a year they go to Europe, and then the other half of the year they come over. And she was grumbling. She says, guess where I go this next time? I says, where? Indianapolis. She says, I don't want to go. Becky, I said, Indianapolis, go over there. You'll have a good time. You can show your friends all the things in Indianapolis. When she comes back, she says, you know, Mom, that's a pretty busy city over there. I think she's going to Oklahoma the next time. She just came back from Oklahoma. And then I think it's back to Greece in about six. It's every 6 months she goes. But that's where the Wright Patt is.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, thank you to your daughter for her service. I appreciate that. And just kind of, I think, a final question. First, to thank you for your time for this interview. I think we got a lot of information. Well, I loved your experience, your experiences with it. I think it was a great story to tell. So kind of a final question. So what do you see, what do you love about the city of Dayton as a community? And if you can kind of connect the arcade into that and kind of, as the ebbs and flows, the rise and fall of Dayton as kind of a city, and the arcade can kind of be a symbol of that. What is your outlook and vision for Dayton in the future? And you've referenced that with kind of the younger generation going
downtown.
It's going to be
the younger generation. It's going to be the continued development of RIPAT because it brings in the professionals. And because Dayton has managed to refocus on housing in downtown, that brings down the professionals. People of your generation have a different view on the goals in your life, and owning a home with a yard and all of that is not a goal that most people in your generation have. And so loft living, condo living, those are kind of, and Dayton is set up for that. And the only thing that I miss down there is Cooper's Park, which was around the library. Because that was a big thing. Mom would take us down, and you went into a side entrance, and you went down the steps, and you went into the basement, and that's where they had all the children's books. And I remember getting books, and then we'd get back on the bus, and we would go home. And then when the books were due, we'd get back on the bus and go downtown again. Those were family activities that we had out of it. And that I do miss. The library's there, but it's so big, and it's so modernistic looking. It doesn't have that homey look, and I've just never been tempted to go in. I drive by it, but I don't go in. And because there's another problem, parking.
Yeah, parking is a big theme of getting out of this as well. But now I've been to the new library downtown. It's absolutely gorgeous.
They say it is.
It's gorgeous. It's
well,
amazing.
They're
building a new one too as well. I think a second one. I forget specifically where.
There's the one that I will go to will be the one down here on Wilmington, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's they've got most of the structural work up now, and that's where I'll go. And there's a little library down here that I used to go to, but I haven't gone down. I get into that dumb stuff there, and I don't go like I do. Though the book I'm reading right now is on Michelle, and she writes well. Mm. It's very interesting, but that's because it's relevant to the times. Our friends are passing it around. When I'm done with it, somebody else wants to read it. So, but that's it's. But as far as the funny part is, I started out in East Dayton. I moved. My family moved to Farmersville. I married a farmer, lived around Brookville, New Lebanon, and then when that situation changed, I somehow or another got back here in East Dayton. And because, well, I worked at the state hospital, and I had moved to Kettering, and I was driving by here, and I said something to my husband about this house I saw, the sign for sale. And so he called the realtor, and he called me at work. He said he's going to meet you, and you go through the house. So I did, and then I went home, and I explained it to Paul. And he said, okay. He says, I said, it's two bedrooms. He says, that's all we want. We don't want four or five bedrooms because we'll have every family member wanting to live. And I said, and he says, I want a detached garage because I like to work in my garage. And I said, it's got a detached garage and it's got air conditioning. It's all one floor and a nice basement. And he says, fine. He says, now, I'm going to call a realtor and I'm going through the house. And I asked him later, he says, well, I was up in the attic, I was in the basement, I looked at the furnace, he did all that kind of stuff. So then we bought this home, and I've lived here since 1982. So I've kind of drifted back to the east side.
So you've really been around, up and around Dayton, and around the block more than once, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's like I tell my grandson, he's giving me this story. And I looked at him, and I said, Mitch, see this gray hair? And he says, yeah, Grandma. I said, I've been around the corner more than once. And I said, what you're telling me is a bunch of And he looked at me. I said, I know what you're saying. And I said, I don't believe a word you're telling me. You're trying to... He got that sheepish grin. You know how grandsons are. He says, I know, Grandma. And I said, now tell me the real story.
Doing the grandma duties the right way.
Well, yeah. And the other thing, this you might want to put in your notes. The other thing, and I don't want you to take offense to this. The other thing is, Dayton offers, and other cities do, and they're doing it more now, but Dayton offers opportunities for apprenticeships in the trades. My father was a toolmaker. My brother was a plumber before he went into the Navy. One grandson is a toolmaker. And Mitch he's an apprentice in the pipe fitting, but he's telling me that he's really thinking about going into ironworking because he has certificates from welding what's the one up at Troy? The welding company, I can't think of the name of it. He went up there and is certified in all kinds of welding. And now he says, Grandma, he says, I can go down to the union and get into ironworking. And he says, and I've got more welding certificates than they require. And he says, I'm thinking. And the underlying thing in there, and I was listening to him today, is he went into the pipe fitting because his father was in it. And his father has got a nice position. And what I'm seeing, and I'm glad to see it, he's in his late 20s, is he wants to be on his own. He says, Grandma, I want to be in something that I want to do, not something that my father says would be a nice thing to do. So I think within the next 2 months, he will switch himself over. And I was glad to see that because I have three daughters and I raised them all to leave home. And you, out of Farmersville, your daughters, you didn't do that. You raised them to find a husband and stay in the community. And we were somewhere and somebody was talking and I said, I raised my girls to leave home. And they all had professions. They all left home. Physically, they were still around.
Right. Of course.
Well, women have to know and have to have an education so they can stand on their own two feet because you never know what's coming down the pike. And my mother and dad, that was one thing my dad and mother was insistent upon. You went past high school. You didn't, it doesn't mean you had to go to college, but you had to have some type of training. I went into nurses training and my brother went into the plumbing. That you had to have an occupation. You had to be trained. And Hobart, that's the company my grandson went to. And I remember him, I said, he lost his mother to cancer and she left money for him to go to Hobart. So he went up there for 8 or 9 months. And that welding has got him into some nice positions.
That's very cool. Yeah, I know that UAW is pretty strong here in Dayton very well.
Yeah.
Just a last follow-up question just to kind of end here. Anything else you'd like to add that, you know, would be pertinent or informative, kind of just about the history of Dayton itself, your experience here in the city, as a commercial center,
mm-hmm.
And as kind of a classic, you know, post-industrial American town, that's looking for help and looking for change.
Can you turn that off for just a second?
Yeah.
Just put on pause. Mm-hmm. I want to get something.